Strangers in Time, written by David Baldacci. Read by Stuart Crank, Alexandra Bolton, John Lee, Matthew Lloyd Davies, Nicola F. Delgado, and Joe Pitts, with an author's note read by David Baldacci. Only the dead have seen the end of war. George Santayana. There are no strangers here, only friends you haven't met yet. Attributed to William Butler Yeats.
A boy called Charlie. It was well past the midway point of 1944 when Charlie Matters clambered over the piled-up debris that littered much of London, while doing his best to fade into the lingering edges of the nighttime. Charlie would be 14 on his next birthday, and years had passed since his parents had been alive. 18,000 souls had died violently in the 8 months of the Blitz alone, and one in six Londoners had been left homeless at one time or another. Sometimes there seemed to be more fallen buildings than ones left standing. A person could easily become desensitized to such profound loss. Yet, while the war years had tried their best to rob him of it, Charlie was still resolutely in possession of a heart. He hurried along streets, lit mostly by hazy moonlight. The blackouts were still in full effect, and the electricity that was permitted was reliably unreliable. It was the same for the bluish plumes of gas, while plump fists of contraband coal were but a distant memory for most, especially folks like Charlie. They were all still steeped in the hostilities that had engulfed the world, and struck particularly fiercely at the city of Charlie's birth. Yet, he didn't mind the darkness. It was actually an aid to him right now. He continued to skitter over bricks, heaved up like stilled waves, and weaved around the stark warning signs of possible unexploded ordnance. Charlie had seen a diffused bomb once. The crude lettering on the device was written in a language he couldn't actually read, but he still knew exactly what it said. Gott verdammt die English. Well, God would choose which people to damn, and it certainly wouldn't be the English, he believed. Things were actually appearing far more hopeful than a year ago, at least according to the snippets coming through on the wireless, and conversations Charlie overheard on the streets, and the bits of newspaper headlines he managed to glimpse. He tugged up the waistband of his tattered pants with the cuffs turned up three times. Until last week, they had resided in a bin shop that gave out worn cast-offs for a few shillings in return. The queue had flowed out the door and snaked down the pavement as desperate EastEnders sought to augment their meagre piles of necessaries. His grandmother, her ration book allotment for clothing nearly exhausted, had dutifully waited for hours on tiring pavement to get her grandson a proper pair of trousers that he could at least grow into over the next year or so. At the bottoms of Charlie's long, knock-kneed legs were shoes that were too small and caused him to step gingerly, even in haste, which was often how he was compelled to move. As the wailing wind, which darted through wide, ominous gaps where buildings had once stood, quieted for a few moments, Charlie heard the sputtering belch of a motor car approaching. He quickly scooted behind a dustbin, filled with the bombed-out wreckage of the building it fronted. When Charlie saw who was coming, he was glad he had hidden. The pair of bleary-eyed constables putted by in their rickety Morris. They were looking for people like Charlie. People up to no good, with the West End's accusatory finger pointed doggedly toward the likes of Bethnal Green, Stepney, and Eastham. I am up to no good, but for a very good reason, thought Charlie. The poor cherished their possessions, because they could invariably see all of them at the same time. The rich did not miss that for which they had four spares. Thus, Charlie had no compunction relieving from affluent folks a bit of their surplus. The Morris receded into the night as Charlie stepped clear of the dustbin. He passed by one bombed shop with no windows and no door, and eyed the sign out front, which read, "More open than usual." Charlie's goal to